This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Positive COVID-19 cases have been cropping up on campuses throughout the UNC system. Three schools have already pivoted to remote instruction just weeks after students and faculty returned to campus. UNC Chapel Hill, North Carolina State University, and East Carolina University have all announced closure of in-person classes as their COVID-19 cases and case counts rise. UNC Chapel Hill has already reported 784 total student cases, 505 in the last week alone, cases at NC State nearing 500 when it announced its closure. The decision comes at great expense to students who unexpectedly need to find money to move off campus and secure new housing. And the closings also come at great cost to universities, which face significant potential losses of revenue. WUNC reporter Liz Schlemmer is here with the latest. Liz, welcome back.
Hi, Frank.
Three universities have already essentially closed. Let's talk a bit about how each came to that decision. Tell us about that and maybe give us a sense of how many cases there are as well.
Well, when we're talking about the numbers I'm going to give you come from what universities publicly report online. So all the UNC system schools have, quote, COVID-19 dashboards where they publish this data. And I just have to emphasize that this data is far from perfect. It's not standardized. It's not updated at the same time. It's not reported and collected in the same way. But I do feel most comfortable repeating what their cumulative case counts are. So Chapel Hill, when you count students and employees, they're up to 835 cases since the beginning of the pandemic. NC State's at more than 450. ECU is close to 400. App State came in at 187 yesterday, and then it starts to drop off, and UNC Pembroke has more than 60 cases. And at the time, each of these universities had at least more than 200 cases when they were making this call to move undergraduate classes all online, and they all had a number of clusters that they were reporting groups of five cases or more.
And UNC Chapel Hill has had the most confirmed cases. Where are those cases most frequently occurring?
So they've had clusters, which is, again, five or more cases at seven residence halls, as well as two fraternities and a sorority house. By far the most are at a residence hall called Granville Towers, which is now up to 144 cases. Where, you know, I know they did some widespread testing there over the last weekend because they already had a lot, but because their outbreak was so large.
Is there anything about Granville Towers that distinguishes it from other residential facilities on the campus or off campus?
And that's a great question, and I was wondering it too. It is a privatized dorm, and I think the key, though, is its location. So it's really close to Franklin Street. It's also really close to frat court, so it has a little bit of a different atmosphere than a lot of the other dorms that are, tucked away on campus.
Now, these closures came very quickly after the doors opened, just a couple of weeks after students arrived and classes began, and the finger-pointing has already begun when it's come to taking responsibility for this. Tell us what the talk is around campus and who's taking responsibility and who's not.
I'd say one of the themes we've heard from UNC System President Peter Hans and the chancellors at these schools that have moved to remote classes is that this is a matter of a few bad apples, and other schools are trying to crack down a little bit on any gathering or parties. I think this really came through when Chancellor Randy Woodson announced that NC State University was going to move to remote classes. So this is what he had to say in that press conference.
I'm very disappointed. Look, when you look at our students, if you walk across our campus and you interact with our students in dining halls, in residence halls, in classrooms, you'll see that the vast majority, the overwhelming majority, are taking this seriously. They're protecting the pack. And so what I would say is that the behavior of a few has jeopardized the ability for us to go forward for all of our students.
That was North Carolina State University Chancellor Randy Woodson. Of course, the way viruses work and vector-borne diseases is that a minority can spread this very quickly, and these are very young people coming together onto a campus, all of which would have been known to the chancellor. I wonder what kind of response you're getting to these kind of comments.
UNC System President Peter Hans had a message early on where he said this is a matter of a few irresponsible students. When I posted that message in full on Twitter, a lot of people responded, they're just blaming students. You know, this is adults pointing fingers at much younger people after a lot of decisions were made. And, you know, people are responding that this is also a matter of poor planning or wishful thinking. And I mean, I have to also say universities are in a tight place. You know, they have a lot of financial pressures to reopen. They haven't received the same level of funding over the past decade. So, you know, there were many financial pressures to do this, but I think the response from many is you can't go blaming students after you already set up this scenario. Now, not all universities have the same outbreaks that UNC Chapel Hill has, so that's another complication there.
Yeah, and we can talk a little bit more about that, but at the moment, let's focus on where the burden falls now, and let's start with students because, you know, there's now a moving out process that has to take place. UNC Chapel Hill requiring that students leave campus. NC State, it's optional. Give us a sense of what's going on and what this means for students.
So UNC Chapel Hill asked for students, if at all possible, to leave dorms by this Wednesday. I asked them, and they said, administrators at UNC Chapel Hill said they've lost 60% of their housing contracts, and the dorms are now down to about 15% capacity after a lot of students moved out in the past week. Some of those students moved out immediately after the message was given, and their classes were still going on. They still had assignments to turn in at the same time that they were moving out, and then later the university gave a two-day pause on classes to let students take a breather or finish moving out if they needed to.
I know the situation places students in an immediate predicament, as you can imagine. And you spoke with Tamaya Troy, who's the president of the UNC Black Student Movement at the UNC campus in Chapel Hill. And here's what she had to say.
A lot of students are not only having trouble finding affordable housing, right? What is affordable to a poor student, right? What is affordable to a student who does not have money sitting in their savings account to just go out and buy whatever comes up?
Tamaya Troy, president of the UNC Black Student Movement at UNC Chapel Hill. I'm talking to Liz Schlemmer today, who's reporting on changes across the UNC system. What else are you hearing from students about having to make these changes, financial difficulties and just maybe finding a space? Huh? What are you hearing?
The main message I got from talking to Maya Troy is just that this is overwhelming, that students are dealing with so much at once, you know, and particularly if they aren't able to move back home to a permanent residence with their family, they're scrambling to try to find off-campus housing and in a market in which affordable housing is really scarce in this area. So they're dealing with a lot at once, and I think it's putting a strain on a lot of students' mental health.
Well, and a lot of and an equity issue because some students are probably in better shape than others financially to handle this. Is there anything being done to assist low-income students?
Absolutely. So I asked UNC Chapel Hill about this. They said they have CARES Act grants that they're giving to students of about $1,000 or more for low-income students, those who qualify for Pell Grants and other income-based financial aid. They also have a student impact fund in which they're giving grants to students for specific needs. And then, you know, the reason I was talking to Tamaya with the Black Student Movement is that they had started a mutual aid fund in which they were also giving small grants to students to pay for the their moving out costs.
And as you suggested earlier, this is also a burden for the universities as well. Talk about the financial hit they may be taking.
We don't know the full financial impact yet. That's certainly what I've heard from UNC Chapel Hill administrators, that they're still tallying that. What I do know is that all of the UNC system schools submitted hypothetical kind of disaster budgets to the UNC system of what would happen if they had to move online, if they lost enrollment. And UNC Chapel Hill, which is certainly losing the most housing contracts, said that they're they could have a $30 million loss in housing and dining alone.
And I know we should probably put this in context because the universities in the state system, at least over the past 10 years or so, have had to rely more and more on tuition and housing to make up their budgets because of the loss of state revenue, right?
Absolutely. You know, tuition is very important. And I think the big question here now is how much this change is actually going to affect enrollment. You know, housing and dining and receipts on campus, that's going to be a big loss. But the bigger question is tuition revenue going to change? But since these schools have extended their deadline to withdraw from classes, we won't know until next month what effect this change is going to have on enrollment, you know, if students are going to drop out or transfer to other schools. You know, UNC says it's still tallying the financial impact, but when they estimated a loss of, like, when they were looking at their budget, if they were to lose 2% enrollment, they estimated that would cost more than $200 million.
Very quickly, Liz, we've mentioned ECU, NC State, and UNC Chapel Hill, big changes there. What about the rest of the system? Are they anticipating things are going to have to go this way, or where are they right now?
I mean, the plan is case by case at this point from the UNC system. Appalachian State University has more than 180 positive cases. Some of the other large universities like UNC Wilmington, Western Carolina University have about 50 positive cases. I mean, these numbers, like I said before, they're not perfect, but, you know, there are at least dozens of cases of COVID-19 on other campuses.
Liz Schlemmer, WNC Education Reporter. Thank you, Liz.
Thanks, Frank.
You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org.